any last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And coming to you from glorious Suffolk County, which is currently under a state of emergency, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 6:03, time for Off the Wall. Thank you. very good evening to everybody out there. From everyone in here, which right now consists of just me, but it's okay. It's all right. I don't mind. It's kind of a way to... you ever have a sweat lodge, you know, where you basically go inside this small structure and you wind up seeing spirits and conversing with all kinds of entities because it's really, really ungodly hot and there's a lot of sweating going on and things like that. Sometimes people die, too. And that's what we're renaming our control room here at the radio station. Yeah, and I complained a lot about this last week, and it's gone up 10 degrees since then. It's unbelievable. But it's okay because humans can adapt. People live in the Arctic, and they get on quite well there. Of course, they do feel like killing whales a lot of the time. And people live in the jungle on the equator, where it gets very, very hot. But nobody does both. You see, nobody goes from one extreme to the other in the same year. That's my only point. Anyway, okay. We're going to make it, though. We're going to make it through this. This is actually the last of our fundraising programs, which are kind of low-key, and they're very low-key tonight because, as I said, I'm the only one here. So, obviously, I can't pick up the phone because I'm talking on the microphone. It's a talk show, and that's sort of how it works. But you can pledge online by going to WUSB.FM, and you'll see a whole array of things that are being offered there as thanks for your generous donations to this place where we suffer sometimes under adverse conditions, but we suffer together and we do it nobly. And we also have the knowledge in our heads that oh, in about a year or so, they're going to be gutting this entire building. I want to throw the first whatever it is that you do when you gut a building. What is it? Punch? Sledgehammer? Crane? I don't know. Whatever it is. I'd like to be there for that. But hopefully we'll move into a new place that has air and other entities, or amenities, rather, that come with the 20th century. All that said... WUSB.FM is our website. Please go over there now and be generous. Donate, things like that. I mentioned earlier at the top of the hour that we are currently in a state of emergency. It's not because we're overheated in here, although, you know, maybe it's related somehow. But Suffolk County is currently on fire, or at least that's what you would... you'd get that out of seeing newscasts, news reports, that we're under a state of emergency because of certain wildfires. In fact, let me hop online here and... go to Hamptons.com, reporting more than 35 fire departments from both Suffolk and Nassau counties are still on the scene, continuing to monitor the spread of any pop-up fires that continue to threaten the area. Now, at one time, and this one time was yesterday, actually, all 109 departments were on the scene. Did you know that? Did you know that Long Island has 109 fire departments? I didn't know that till this very moment. And they all went to one place. That must have been cool. I mean, you know, you're not fighting the fires all the time. Sometimes you get to hang out and relax and do something and, you know, shoot the breeze with other fire people from other parts of the island. You can compare... Well, how do you compare fires, really? I mean, fire is fire, right? But I'm sure there were stories, like different color fires or hotter fires than other fires or just... all kinds of stories of heroic rescues and drama and things like that. I'm sure there's all kinds of things. And then, obviously, there's going to be arguments, too, and probably a few brawls involving 109 different fire departments. But it's just a good thing there weren't fires in the other part of the island. All the fire departments were out there. Of course, they probably left a few people behind. They'd have to do that. But I don't think I've ever heard of all the fire departments going to one place before. That's something. Anyway, for more than 24 hours, the firefighters have battled a blaze that began yesterday. I like this website because they always give the full date whenever they refer to a day. Began Monday, April 9th, 2012. You left out the AD part. How am I supposed to know? North of Brookhaven Lab, and it raged through the Pine Barrens area of Ridge and Manorville. Consuming approximately 1,000 acres. I don't mean to be nitpicky here, but Do all fires rage? Is that something that you know for a fact that this was a raging fire, or was it just maybe a mellow fire? I just want to know if it's normal to just say a fire raged because it was a fire, or if actually somebody goes to the scene and checks to see, oh yeah, it's a raging fire. Got to add that. Just curious. Someone has to ask these questions. With nine structures destroyed, the volunteer firefighters with Air National Guard and State Police Water Drops. That's a very elite force, the State Police Water Drops. If you ever come up against them, be careful. They have finally contained the fires. They basically took up about 100,000 acres. No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Now we're going back to 1995? Okay, this is kind of sloppy here. In the same paragraph, consisting of more than 100,000 acres, fires in 1995 consumed more than 9,000 acres of the Pine Barrens. You know, I don't understand that. What are you saying here? In 1995, what consisted of more than 100,000? I guess the Pine Barrens. Is that? And then 9,000 acres of those were consumed. Okay, fine. I would have started at a different paragraph, but whatever. The fire began around 3 p.m. yesterday, fueled by high winds and lack of ground moisture. This morning, Tuesday, April... Oh, you misspelled April. Uphill. All right, whatever. This morning, firefighters appear to have contained the blaze with the help of Air National Guard and state police helicopters that have been dumping water on the fires since approximately 10:30 in the morning. Now, red flag warning will be in effect until 8 p.m. tonight. That's just under 2 hours from now. Three firefighters were injured, two treated for smoke inhalation and released, and a third being held with second and third degree burns right here at Stony Brook University Hospital. So, yeah, you know, you wouldn't know it driving around here that we're under a state of emergency or even that there are wildfires only a few miles away. It looks a little cloudy, but those are probably smoke clouds. And the other thing that a lot of people fail to realize is that these fires are natural. Well, I mean, sometimes idiots set them, that's true. But it's natural, especially in the Pine Barrens, for there to be fires occasionally because that's how the pine trees reseed. That's how the pine cones open, the tremendous heat from the fires. I'm not saying people should encourage this sort of thing or just let it keep burning. I'm just saying that this is not something that mankind has done necessarily, although certainly there are people out there that... In New Jersey, I heard that was the fires there were set. There's a fire in Staten Island that somehow got started in a garbage dump, which is raging right now. And they don't know quite how that happened. Anyway, so that's where we are right now in the state of emergency here at Stony Brook. And, well, not Stony Brook, Suffolk County, of which Stony Brook is a part. I don't think there are any wildfires here, though this is probably what it feels like if you're in the middle of one. Let's go on to other bits of news and things like that. We won't be taking phone calls tonight because, well, officially it's a pledge night, and we don't have anybody to answer the phone. So, yeah, if you call in to pledge, you'd be pledging over the air, so that doesn't really work well if you're giving out credit card numbers or things like that. So we're encouraging people to go to WUSB.FM and pledge there, where it's nice and secure, and you can basically take your time. And please mention off the wall when you do this. Okay, so now other late breaking news that's not so local. We've been talking about the Trayvon Martin case over the last few weeks. You might not have heard this. But the attorneys for George Zimmerman, the guy that that killed Trayvon Martin, have left the case. They've withdrawn as his counsel. Because they've lost contact with him. Yeah, he's in the wind. They don't know where he is now. Oh, boy. Who couldn't see this coming? You know, you basically have all this attention for this case. You don't move on it. You don't do anything. Is it any wonder the guy is eventually going to say, you know what, I'm out of here. Especially after the embarrassment of that ugly website he unveiled yesterday. Oh, my God, did you see that? It just looks so horrible. It looks like something made in 1992. Ugh. But that was a website, and I don't know if you can still get to it. I'll try. It's called therealgeorgezimmerman.com. Or was it the real or I am You know, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure what it was called, and there's probably a million imitators right now. But it basically had all kinds of things that weren't working concerning the facts of the case, probably because those facts are still being created. He had one section which was completely empty called My Race. My Race, what's that all about? And I would have thought this was something that was completely made up, and, you know, somebody just looking for attention that wasn't him. But his lawyers, these very same lawyers, said, no, this is real, this is him. He's set this up to get donations, which I have no doubt he'll get, because there are a lot of people here that are willing to just support him no matter what, because he killed one of the bad guys. I'm not kidding. This is what people say. And I think it's horrible when we pay so much attention to what these people say and give them all kinds of forums to say it, because, you know, people say things just to get attention, and there are a lot of stupid people out there. And the more channels you open for them, the more you will hear them, and the more you will think that this is what people believe. And we talk about this a lot. We talk about all kinds of dumbing down of society and how perspectives change. Now, just last week, I spent almost the entire hour talking about guns, the Second Amendment, protecting yourself, overthrowing governments, things like that. Basically, you know, interpretations. Interpretations that were quite common, actually, in this country not too long ago, but which are almost unheard of now because people have given up and people have bought into various interpretations. Used to be you could debate the meaning of the Second Amendment. Now you can't. You can't. And I went on, you know, didn't even say anything all that radical. Didn't say that, you know, paratroopers have to come and take all the guns away from all the people. Didn't say anything like that. In fact, I said, that's never going to happen. People are never going to have their guns taken away from them. They're never going to be giving them up. But even that is too much. And we got all kinds of hate calls and various, you know, bad reactions. Not a single good reaction. Not one person called to say, yeah, I agree. Those people either don't listen anymore, or they've given up and they just don't want to talk about it anymore. Or they don't exist. Maybe they've completely changed their minds. It's how things work. You know, it's you can do something dramatic, do something overnight and people notice, or you can do something very gradually and slowly. And over the course of a few decades, perspectives change, mentalities change, society changes. And unless you're looking at one versus the other in quick succession, you might miss it. You might not realize that, wow, we've really done a 180. So, yeah, we've pretty much done that in many ways, and we can certainly continue to discuss that. And we will, as long as this place doesn't burn, and as long as we have equipment that works, and as long as we have things to talk about. There will always be an outlet here for all kinds of opinions. And that's one reason you really should support the radio station, WUSB.FM. is the website to go to. Now let's get back to the story I just started talking about. Attorney Craig Sonner and Hal Urig told a news conference they have not heard from George Zimmerman since Sunday. They said that, against their advice, Zimmerman contacted the special prosecutor who will decide if he should face charges. Did you hear about this yesterday? That special prosecutor, Angela Corey, yesterday announced that this will not be going to a grand jury. Now, what does that mean? I saw that, and I was like, holy crap, no, she didn't. That's not, she didn't just say that there's not going to be any charges filed. No, that's not what this means. This means that she's going to be deciding. She alone will decide. She will not send it to a grand jury to decide. That's a decision she made that they won't get to decide. Now, I don't think that's really a good idea. It doesn't sound like it's going to end well no matter what. Giving one person pretty much the power to decide if there's going to be civil strife on the streets, because there will be. If it's even hinted at that this guy is going to get away with murder. And if you look at the story, if you look at the character, if you look at just the facts and how they've come out and been refuted and alternate facts and all that kind of thing. Well, you'd have to be pretty much living in a state of denial to not be outraged if he's able to just walk away from this. Because obviously a lot of things went wrong, and not just with George Zimmerman. We mentioned this last week as well. This shows the problems with the system and how it's so easy when things are set up in a particular way for people to get away with things. This is why you need hate crime laws, because it's a lot easier in certain situations than in others. And honestly, if you can say to yourself that had things been reversed, and let's say that the same exact thing happened, except that Trayvon Martin had a gun and George Zimmerman did not, and Trayvon Martin killed George Zimmerman because he thought his life was in danger, and he did. He did think his life was in danger. According to the cries that people have heard, he was screaming for his life. And in fact, voice experts have confirmed that was his voice. So, yeah, you know, Florida is one of these states that has this crazy law. Stand your ground, where you think you might be in danger so you can kill someone. Well, okay, so this guy apparently had the right to do that. Do you think that he would just be let go? You think a black kid would just be let go after killing a guy that he says was threatening his life? If you can really believe that, I want some of your drugs. I really do. Because I think we all know that's not how it works. That's definitely not how it works. And nothing points out the disparity in this country between races than a story like this. And it's also funny how people are constantly pointing to the fact that that this guy Zimmerman is partially Hispanic, as if that somehow makes it possible not to be racist against black people. No, he can't be racist. He's Hispanic. You know what? You can even be racist against black people and be black. It's very common, in fact. Racism doesn't really discriminate as far as that goes. It affects everybody. And it goes in all directions, too. But in this country, at this time, it goes in a particular direction. So, all right, all that said, so nobody knows where he is now, and Angela Corey is going to decide on her own, whether or not they're going to charge him with anything. Hopefully before 2 months have gone by with him just walking around. Does he still have his gun? I think he still has his gun, doesn't he? How crazy is that? The lack of an arrest has led to protests across the U.S. and spurred a debate about race and the laws of self-defense. Urig, one of his lawyers, said the legal team is concerned about Zimmerman, who he said is not doing well emotionally and may be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a real concern. Now, I say a lot of things here, but the guy is a human being. And I don't like mobs, and I don't like people rushing to judgment and not giving somebody a chance. And he's going to be as much a victim of this as anybody due to the fact that nothing is being done. Now, he's going to have to pay the price for what he did. There's no question about that. But I do hope that we remain in a somewhat civilized state, although we're certainly being pushed in a direction where people feel the need to lash out and feel the need to respond to such blatant injustice. So, anyway, one of his attorneys says that he never actually talked to him face-to-face. But he believes he's still in the United States. He believes that. And both attorneys said they'd be willing to represent him again if he asks. And Ben Crumper, an attorney for Trayvon Martin's family, said at this point, we're just concerned that nobody knows where he is at. Nobody knows how to get to him. So if they do issue an arrest warrant, yeah, good luck. Good luck, guys. You did this to yourself, you know? Crazy state of Florida. It's unreal. What else? Crazy state of Florida? Okay, yeah, did you hear about this story? This is not to be believed, but it's believable when you consider where it came from. The manager of the Miami Marlins. Now, first of all, that right away got me because I didn't know they renamed themselves. They're the Florida Marlins. Now they're the Miami Marlins. Oh, that's okay, great. You're basically identifying with a city. That's probably better than identifying with a state. The guy who's their manager made a bit of a controversial remark, or so they say. Yeah, they say that it was controversial for him to say that he loved Fidel Castro. He made favorable remarks about Fidel Castro. And the story yesterday was that manager Ozzie Guillen is returning to Miami to explain himself as a backlash builds regarding favorable comments he made about Fidel Castro. And then today, the story is that the Marlins have suspended him for 5 games. Marlins suspend manager for 5 games over pro-Castro comments. Yeah, so apparently you can lose your job if you say that you like somebody that you're not supposed to like. I mean, let's be clear here. We're not pledging allegiance to Hitler. We're not saying Bin Laden is great. This is Fidel Castro. Yes, a dictator. He was a dictator. He's a retired dictator now. But he's also somebody that has been at loggerheads with the United States now since 1960 or thereabouts. And does not have the best record as far as human rights goes. No question about that. But does have a good record on other things, such as providing education to his people, providing health care to his people, providing homes, and standing up to a crippling series of sanctions that might have destroyed anybody else, did not destroy him. And somehow that regime stayed in place. And it was a huge waste for the United States because they would have made a very good ally. Yeah, different way of running things. Different system, but we all could have adapted, and I'm sure the system would be a lot better there now as a result of that. But no, we couldn't. We couldn't do that. We could not do that because we felt it was better to go back to the right-wing dictator of Batista that came before Castro. And under him, there was bloodshed, lots of bloodshed. Lots of people died. You know, there's not so much bloodshed in Cuba. Oh, sure, there was some during the revolution, but since then, there were no purges, there were no mass exterminations of people, or even mass executions. You know, the death penalty is not even legal in Cuba. I believe one person has been executed this century. And officially, the death penalty is no longer the rule of the law, of the land, that is. Certainly not the case in lots of other countries that we are friendly with. And there are certainly all kinds of other leaders that you could probably say, I like this person, I love this person, I think this person is cool, and not get fired or not get suspended for 5 games just for voicing your opinion. Now, what kind of nonsense is this? Is this the kind of thing that only happens in Florida, or is this something that we can expect everywhere? I'll say right here, Castro has some admirable traits. He knows how to give a long talk. He certainly is able to survive into, his 80s now? And he's educated. And believe it or not, the people there do stand behind him. Not everybody, obviously, but a lot of people do. It's something we need to deal with. And if only we could do that, if only we could actually have conversations and not make it illegal for our own citizens to go to that country, because they're not the ones forbidding us from going there. We're the ones forbidding our own citizens from going to another country. So who actually is free here and who is not free? You can say, yeah, they don't let people emigrate. Well, that's not right either. Obviously not. But if we're so high and mighty, how come we're afraid to let people go there? And, you know, you can interpret this all different ways. How many Americans has Fidel Castro killed or been responsible for the death of? How many Americans has George W. Bush been responsible for as far as their being killed in senseless wars and absurd scenarios? You see, in some ways, if you did have a dictator that went berserk and just mowed everybody down and killed all his enemies, at least you would be as angry as we should be now for what's happened to so many people in our country in the last 10 or 15 years. We've lost thousands of our best people for nothing. But we don't feel the anger. Not enough. At least when you overthrow a dictator, or know that you're living under a dictatorship, you have that rage, and you use that rage to build something better. But that's not who Castro is. He's not somebody who went around killing lots of people or mowing down his own civilians like they're doing in Syria right now, like they did in Libya, like they do in so many other countries. And I suspect if a pro-democracy movement took hold there, that you would not see that kind of a reaction. You would see change. But the change has to come from within. Can't come from these people who live in Miami, who are just upset that they lost their mansions that they had under Batista. No, those aren't the people that determine where Cuba is going to go. The people who determine where it's going to go are the people who live there. It's up to them. Just as it's up to anybody, any citizen of any country. Right now, the people of Syria, it's up to them how they want this to go. And right now, they're being pretty clear as to showing opposition to a dictatorial regime. The world can see, and now the world should do something about it. But you can't do things before that's apparent. Yeah, it would be nice if nobody got hurt and we just had the best people in office all the time and everybody lived in relative harmony. It doesn't work that way. So, in any event, Cuba is not to be compared to all these horrible regimes that we do support and all the many dictators we've supported over the years that have killed so many more people. I mean, almost literally, you can go through continent by continent. No, not almost. Literally, you could go every continent, except perhaps Antarctica, and point to countries where we've supported people who have done far worse things than Castro has ever even been accused of, let alone done. So it's just, it's a bit misplaced. And to suspend somebody for 5 games because he voiced an opinion about somebody, that to me is the real shock. And that's something we should react to. Because apparently freedom of speech is not alive in Miami or in Florida. Of course, this guy, you know, he doesn't really have a whole lot of a backbone himself. I mean, he said this. And now he's saying, it was the greatest mistake of my life. Well, maybe it was. Maybe it was, but you shouldn't backpedal on what you say just because you're scared, just because people are angry. Now he's saying, I'm on my knees. And this is exactly what he said, according to Time magazine. I respect Fidel Castro. You know why? A lot of people have wanted to kill Fidel Castro for the last 60 years. But he's still there. Okay, what is wrong with that? There was nothing there saying, yeah, you know what, I support people being imprisoned for political opinions. I support torture. I support censorship of the press. I support people not being allowed to use the internet. All the things that Cuba is accused of, that the Castro regimes have been accused of. But he didn't say any of that. All he said was, I respect him, because he's a survivor. Okay, great. Well, then, you just dug your own grave by saying that. In this country, you can't say that. No, 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 you can't do that. Now, he said something else here. Yeah, here we go. He modified his remarks a bit. He said, the interpretation didn't come out as I wanted. I was thinking of Spanish, and I said the wrong thing in English. You know, no, that's not how languages work, okay? Spanish and English are not opposites. If you think something in Spanish, and you don't say the opposite in English. I don't think that's how it works. I'm not bilingual, but I don't think that's how it works. Because what else could you possibly have been saying? You know, I don't respect him because he's been a survivor, or it's a very bad excuse. But he went on. Everybody in the world hates Fidel Castro, including myself. I was surprised that he's still in power. That's what I was trying to say to the journalist, and that's the first thing that came out of my mouth. I admit it. It was the wrong words. Oh, come on. Really? This is how you're going to play it. What you should do is stand up to people and say, hey, you know, we're supposed to be in this country where freedom of speech is respected, where differing opinions are tolerated, and that's exactly the kind of thing that we're criticizing Cuba for not having. How are you going to suspend me for 5 games simply for saying an opinion about something that's got absolutely nothing to do with my job in the first place? Whole thing is ridiculously stupid. So, yeah, how do we react against that? Okay. Actually, I just got a text from Kyle. We're going to try to call him. I'm not sure if he's at his house or at his cell phone, so let's go out onto the dial 9 there. Save me from ranting for a little while anyway. Save the listeners. Hey, Kyle, is this you?
Oh, hi. How are you doing, E?
This is Emmanuel, and you're live on WUSB Stony Brook right now, which is currently about 95 degrees inside the studio and not much better outside.
Hey, that's fantastic. It's really nice and warm and summer-like out here on the West Coast.
They say this is the warmest March. Wait a minute, it's now April. It was the warmest March on record. And this followed the cancellation of winter this year, so I suspect that if this is not global warming, it's something bad.
The end of winter as we know it.
Yeah, forever. And also, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're on fire, too. Suffolk County here on Long Island is burning. We have wildfires as opposed to tame fires. We have wildfires that are just out of control. Every single fire department on Long Island, all 109 of them, and I didn't know that we had that many, went out to the east part of Long Island to gather and spray water.
Wow. Wildland firefighting this early in the summer.
Well, actually, it usually does happen in the spring because, I don't know, that's traditionally...
Lightning.
I don't know if it's lightning or just it's very dry, it's very windy, and as I was trying to explain before, it is a natural occurrence, too, to have wildfires, especially in the Pine Barrens.
Wildfires are usually started by lightning in this time.
Okay, all right, I won't dispute that. Now, actually, the thing I wanted to mention to the folks, we were talking the other night, and you mentioned something that you had eaten for the first time, which I found unbelievable, but everybody is now talking about it. Do you want to tell the folks just what it was that you tried for the first time?
Yeah, I had Taco Bell, Dorito, like, nacho cheese.
A Dorito taco is what you had.
Yeah, Dorito, nacho cheese, taco supreme.
So apparently after many decades of scientists working in laboratories, they figured out how to shape a Dorito into a taco. And
Dorito shell.
Dorito shell. That was something. And have you recovered from this?
Well, yeah, I'm okay. I haven't had that particular type of fast food in quite a while, but it was so... bizarre, and I don't know, it seemed to also make sense at the same time. It was a bit of a paradox, and my friend and I were just drawn to it. We were out running errands, and it just seemed like a natural thing to experiment with on a spring day. So that's what happened, and you know, we had more than one, and they taste like the chips, and they're pretty good. I can't see doing that on a regular basis though.
Well, I mean, where does it end? Could there be Cheeto tacos now, or you know, pretzel tacos, or there's all kinds of things you could wrap it up in.
Right, and yeah, I guess the Cool Ranch flavor is soon to come out, but they really did research it, and it's the melding of these two brands. Some people might say it's an abomination. I don't know. I guess that's for the public to decide, but it was entertaining and interesting, and I don't know. Sometimes you gotta give it a go or at least check it out.
No, that's true. Yeah, and kudos to you for doing that, for actually stepping out and trying something different. And yeah, some people will say it's an abomination. I think basically the jury is still out because they're trying to figure out what it's mostly an abomination against. Is it you know, against food, against tacos, or against the Doritos? I don't know. There's all kinds of different possibilities as far as who might get offended by this.
To my credit, I actually have been making my own tacos lately, and I made a nice habanero salsa and had tacos, traditional tacos, in my home. So it's not just fast food tacos. I'm a bit of a taco enthusiast.
And in fact, you basically did not have a Dorito shell when you did this. You made a traditional taco.
Yeah, so the corn tortilla, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And yeah, you're right. You are a taco enthusiast. In fact, you would go out and search for a taco truck because that's where the best tacos come from. We don't have taco trucks around here. I wish we did. I think that's Mexican street food is the best food in the world.
Right. Actually, I've been making them at home out of distress because a certain taco truck that I was once in good standing and had an incredible relationship with, they've moved on. I don't know where they are. I have their phone number, but I haven't gotten around to calling them. And usually a taco truck is something you happen upon. You want to happen upon it. You don't want to hound them. So I don't know. I might have to go to a more taco-friendly neighborhood or something.
Yeah, it reminds me of that old Blind Lemon Jelly song, "My Taco Truck Has Driven Away." It's a blues song. But
I'm going to have to get that as a ringtone.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of ringtones, Kyle, I wanted to mention this, too. We were talking the other night, and we were both on landlines, and that's cool. If you have, you know, I'm not sure if everybody out there has even experienced this, but you know, if you pick up your if you have a landline, or if you can get to a landline, something that's plugged into a wall, not a cell phone, and you talk to somebody else who is also plugged into a wall someplace, and you're not using Skype or some IP telephony solution there. No, you're using an actual phone line from start to finish. The quality of the voice is just so much better. Am I right?
Yeah, and it's more responsive, and you can carry on a conversation in a more natural way, in my opinion. And
I can talk at the same time as you, and you can hear me, and not have that whole cell phone thing where you wind up talking, whereas the other person never stopped talking.
Right. I have family members that are really good at just talking over you because they understand that you know, there's going to be a delay, so they just compensate by not shutting up.
Oh, that's brilliant. But now, that was unusual enough. And actually, we have landline to landline right now because I'm on a landline, and so are you. But
yeah.
The other thing that we realized was that, are you on that phone now? The same phone?
What? Well, absolutely.
Can you do what you did the other night?
Oh, sure. Pick a number between
7.
1 and 9.
I said 7.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Well, it didn't sound like a touchtone 7. It didn't sound like a rotary 7 either, actually. It sounded like a 4. But that tells me that you're on a rotary phone. Am I correct in making that assumption?
Yeah, I am on a Bell, Western Electric Bell telephone.
And the amazing thing was that I was, too. I was on a, what was it, a 501 series? Is that what they call them?
Yeah, it depends. You have several. You have quite a collection, actually. So it might have been a 302. I have a 501 or 500 series.
Well, the 302 is the earlier one from, I think, the 40s, and I was not on that one. I was on the 501 from the 60s. But it was a rotary phone, and you were on a rotary phone at the same time. We were both on rotary phones. And I asked you, I said, Kyle, how many people at this moment do you think in this country are speaking to each other landline to landline, rotary phone to rotary phone? Is it possible that we are the only people in the entire country doing this right now? And I had to think, is that even a possibility that no one else is doing something like this?
Yeah, I mean, at that particular moment, cross country in that particular way, absolutely not, because, of course, the calls are routed, you know, in sort of a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe it just been a handful of nationwide calls that were similar to ours, but none exactly like it. So you could say the call, you could argue the call is incredibly and absolutely unique, but to some degree there are probably other calls that were probably equidistant and in that way similar. So,
well,
I don't know, it was an interesting quandary.
It's not so much the landline to landline, because as we mentioned, this is a landline to landline connection right now, but rotary phone to rotary, I mean, unless you're in Green Acres or something like that, maybe there's somebody there that is calling someone else local, that, and they both have rotary phones, or maybe they're just some really stubborn senior citizens that have never let go of them. But how many, really, at that particular time, would be having that sort of a conversation? I realize it's impossible for us to ever find out, but maybe our listeners can help and write to us, otw@2600.com. If you have a rotary phone, if you use it a lot, if you call other people who also have rotary phones, just sort of give us a perspective of how many other possible people out there were doing the same thing. Because if anyone is going to be doing this, it's our listeners and people that follow this program. It is a very rare thing. I mean, kids today, they don't even know how to use a rotary phone,
let alone have a long, extended conversation and truly get sort of touched by the magic of the connection across such a vast distance.
I can't tell you the number of times I've been with people that are talking to other people, or you know, we're trying to reach other people, and basically we're just going back and forth with these ridiculous text messages where, you know, someone, you have to wait a couple of minutes for them to respond. They respond, and they don't quite get what you asked the first time, so you have to ask again. And I'm like, why in God's name would you just call them? You have their number. Why don't you just pick up the phone and call them? And for some reason, there's a real hesitancy to doing that. I don't get it.
There's something, E?
Yes.
Something really encouraging, something something robust about picking up a receiver and getting actual dial tone and being able to dial wherever you want and not be susceptible to any sort of dropouts or what we're also used to with wireless stuff. I feel like wireless devices, you're almost giving up a certain permanence, a certain
mm-hmm.
bit of like anchoring, literally, by being all wireless. I know people have just gotten rid of their landlines. They're like, well, I don't need it. I'll just have my wireless phone. And, yeah, you get all these features, but it's veiled. You don't actually have a connection. I mean, you don't have that, I want to say credibility. That's not the right word, but that stability of a connection. You know,
yes.
You're
yes.
cheapened.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And there was a certain a solidness that goes along with having a traditional landline. I should point out two things here. I have another landline that is going over the cable lines, Cablevision, in fact. I have one of the phones that has their service. But here's the thing. Lately, for the last few nights, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm losing my connectivity, because I get that through Cablevision as well, and I lose that Cablevision phone. And I call them on one of the other lines, and I say, hey, what gives here? And they say, oh, yeah, it's scheduled maintenance from 1 to 5 in the morning. Scheduled maintenance that takes out my phone line for 4 or 5 hours? And when do you tell people about this scheduled maintenance? You have the schedule. I don't have the schedule, so how am I supposed to know this? The regular phone company, the regular copper line that you get to your telephone in days of old and today, if you still believe in it, they don't go down for maintenance. That's ridiculous. You don't do that to a phone line. And the other thing, just to touch upon something that you mentioned, you said when you pick up the phone, you're getting a real dial tone. Unfortunately, that's not the case anymore. That was the case with crossbar mechanical switches. When you picked up the phone, if a lot of people did it at the same time, you wouldn't get a dial tone because one wasn't available. But now, when you pick up the phone, you're hearing an imitation one. You're hearing a computer saying, this is a dial tone. It doesn't mean your call will go through, but this is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean that in like it's like it's not a voice over IP type solution, but you have a point.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we've spent the better part of 12 minutes or so bitching about the way things are right now, and we're almost out of time. Is there anything else that we need to complain about?
Oh, I have no complaints, except for the pollen. The pollen count is really high today.
Is it? I'm sorry to hear that.
I'll suffer with other allergy-prone folks.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, I'm going to see an allergist next week for the first time in my life, because I know I'm allergic to something. I don't know what it is, and I'll find out if it's certain people or if it's just society in general or maybe nothing in particular. Basically, they draw like a huge tic-tac-toe board on you or something, and they deposit things in each one of the boxes, and whatever you react to, that tells you what you're allergic to.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah, I wonder if you'll get a high score.
Well, I'm studying up for it, so hopefully, something will come of that. But it's just it's part of my never-ending quest to learn more about myself.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that kind of stuff. And, I don't know, on with spring, and thanks for having me on the radio.
Well, thanks for rescuing me from just going into another tirade about something else. Because I've been just basically complaining about all kinds of things. But, you know, when you're in a very hot room, in a very confined space, it's easy to do that. And, I think that's maybe why intentionally they set this up for me every time I come in, so that I'll be crabby and I'll just say all these things off the cuff. You know, I won't say that I love Fidel Castro, because I really don't love any world leader. You know, that's the kind of scenario that people say those sorts of things in. And, it leads to all kinds of complications.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to be careful with which world leader you're professing your love to.
Exactly. Yeah, think it through first, folks, because it's a commitment when you say something like that. Well, Kyle, we look forward to having you back here in our sweltering studios at some point. And say hi to everybody out there in Seattle.
Absolutely. We're just right behind you a couple hours.
3 hours, to be precise.
Yeah.
All right, then. We will talk to you again soon, and we have to sign off here now.
All right, ciao. Enjoy your evening, and thanks for listening, everyone, to Off the Wall.
Could you, Kyle, could you just give us a zero before you hang up?
Oh, sure, yeah. Here you go.
Here we go. I don't know, it always seems like it's a couple of digits short, but that sounded like an 8. All right, Kyle, good night.
So long.
And that's our friend Kyle out there in Seattle, basically adding a bit of sanity to all of this. And we're out of time. Now, I hope people have been going to the website, not the George Zimmerman website, the WUSB website. They're both asking for money, I know, but we have justice on our side, and we basically believe in asking questions first, and various things like that. Our web address, wusb.fm, just follow the instructions there and pledge whatever you can afford. Don't give away your house or anything that would really cripple your life or anything like that. Don't do that. We're not asking you to do that. What we are asking is that you take into account that there aren't very many radio stations like WUSB out there, that all kinds of controversial things are talked about, all kinds of cool music is played. All kinds of things can be learned over the course of, an hour, a day, a week, or many, many years. You know, this is the 35th anniversary of WUSB. 35, is that really true? 1977 is when we came on the air. Wow, 35 years of broadcasting. And next year they're gutting the building and we'll be out in the street. But, you know, it's all part of the journey. It's always going to be interesting and fun, and with our listeners, it's all worthwhile. So please, WUSB.fm, show your support, and write to us at Off the Wall, otw@2600.com. Now, Finn is not going to be in this week, because Finn is over in France right now. Yeah, he is. He might even be listening. And that's one thing that's really cool, that you can do that. So, somebody else will be coming up next. We'll see Finn again in a couple of weeks, and we'll be back next week. with all kinds of other fun and controversy. Until then, Emmanuel for Off the Wall, good night.
Storybook! Point 1!